We are officially recording 3 minutes ahead of schedule.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 322 of WTF at TFW. I am here today joined by some podcasters, one of whom is Aaron. Aaron, tell me about our boy.
Hi. Andy Rue is currently doing well. He's had 8 centimeters of small intestine removed on Wednesday. Today he didn't show a whole lot of appetite, so they definitely want to keep him into Friday. And come Friday, I'll be tweeting like heck one way or the other if he's coming home or if he's got to spend another night at the hospital.
Just for those who don't know, Aaron and I do not have a son. I just like to act as though I am in equal ownership of his dog because even though I never met his dog, I feel like his dog is, you know, partly mine. Because, you know, Andy's appeared on the podcast a few times in the background going, woof!
He's, as I joked, the founder of Andy Rue's Gaming Gang.
Yep. Owner and founder. Yeah. Lead accountant as well, and I believe designer of several stage shows that never came to be.
Yeah, it's always the budgetary stuff. It's, you know, you try and
what's the problem with dogs, man?
Lined up, and then they like, look, well, you know, you're selling this for just milk bones, and then he says milk bone and gets all excited.
Yeah, dogs are just all like, I think this is cool. I think this is cool. I think food's awesome. You try to tell them some realism, and they just like look at you and they tilt their head and walk away. And it's like, well, I guess we'll table that idea until Andy decides to, you know, think about the harsher sides of business. Speaking of the harsher side of business, we're also joined by TJ Omega.
Wait, harsh side of business?
Yeah, you know, the back side of the hand as opposed to the fore side of the hand.
No idea what you're talking about. Business is going good here.
No, I mean, like, we got the soft side. We got Aaron with his, you know, friendly tale of a dog happily making his way out of surgery and, you know, heartwarming things. And then, you know, if people are still not listening to us, we've got the TJ Omega side, the backhand, the knuckle coming back around going like, hey, fool, we're going to talk about Transformers.
Yeah. Well, this is why business is good.
Yeah.
I have not had to break any knees yet.
Oh.
Are you making the $1.3 million that 8-year-old is?
Man, so Evan Tube HD.
Oh my god!
Pops up on my Facebook page, and that is the PewDiePie of toy reviews. Except, let me point out, he's like 8 years old. And what I really liked actually when I popped through that article is I think it was his parents. I think. Someone said that they're taking all the proceeds from this YouTube channel, putting it in a savings account for these kids when they grow up.
Yeah.
And can you imagine, like, because I bet you, I mean, there's probably at this point a little bit of awareness, but I bet you on the side of the kid or kids who are, you know, the attraction of the channel, they probably just think they're playing with toys in front of a camera with and, you know, their parents are you know, filming them and it's all fun and games. Can you imagine, like, when they're 16 or 18 and they find they really realize the breadth of what is going on?
Yeah, buddy. Remember when we played with toys in front of camera for like from when like you were 8 until 10, and then you thought it was too cool and you wanted to go ride your bike at 11?
And Evan's like, well, listen, I'm trying to figure out how to pay for college, okay?
That was $4 million, you little SOB.
Hey, by the way, you have $4 million.
We could have had 10 by now if you kept playing with the Power Rangers, but no. No, you didn't want to do that. You wanted to go ride your bike.
Yeah, so guess what? You're only getting 1.5.
Guess what? We only got the 20-foot yacht. That's what you get.
I want to believe that his parents are really, you know, making this into a positive thing for that kid. I don't know anything about the, like, I never really watched any of their videos. I clicked on one and it wasn't my thing, but I could see the draw.
You were just saying competitor can't give him any click-through.
I was scoping the kid out and I'm like, all right, what can I got to go get myself a child to put on camera. And that's how I disappeared from the internet for a month or two. Cause things happen. Yeah, I thought that was a cool, like, I didn't know about that end, because I always think to myself when you see those stories about, like, you know, PewDiePie or, you know, insert YouTuber making 6 to 7 figures in some period of time, I'm like, what do they do with all that? Are they being smart, or are they being rock star stupid?
Just keep rolling it in.
Yeah.
It's for video games, just go buy yourself
a video
game studio.
I'm going to go buy 500 copies of Half-Life 2.
No, that's what I was going to say. You buy the studio.
I'm going to
tell them make good games for me to review, and they're like, "What? It takes us like 8 months to get something to be passable. And you're like, no, I got a review on Tuesday. What do you got?
They've priced them out now because, you know, Microsoft bought Mojang for $1.5 billion, which...
I thought it was $2.5 billion.
Okay, I guess $2.5 billion. It's not just the paltry amount of $1.5 billion. I apologize.
Again, that's 20-foot yacht talk.
So that basically means, like, hey, that's a whole factor of 10 that YouTube superstar channels are away from. They can't buy game companies. They don't got billions. They only got millions. That would just be a mess.
I mean, 2.5 billion. Okay, if a toy reviewer gets like 1.4 million, then game reviews, which are huge on YouTube, it'll take what, 8 of them?
Do you know what happened the last time?
100. Or more. It's a factor. Or no, 1,000.
The last time they put a bunch of YouTube video game channel owners together in a thing, it was this reality TV show that went real wrong, and I don't think it's going to happen again for a while. We're here to talk about Transformers, though, and to pat children named Evan on the back for making millions, probably without even realizing it. Actually, I want to think he's a master. I'm sorry, I want to think he's actually like the criminal mastermind behind all this. Just imagine, he's just really intelligent. He's got his parents just under his thrall. Like, yes, Evan, whatever you say, Evan. And he's like, listen, we're gonna move into Lego, all right? But while we're doing that, Mom, want you to start building up a sub-series based on Play-Doh just in case things go south with the building blocks. Anyway, I have some anonymous insider info to share with you guys. This was a PM that came to me on TFW 2005. Given the way it's written, I do not want to out the user. If the user wishes to out him or herself, they are free to do so. But this is relevant to a conversation we've had on an even-numbered episode, Aaron. Quote, after being a long-time listener to the podcast, I've heard you mention your love for Coke Zero quite often. I happen to make Coca-Cola beverages for a living. Not put it in the bottles, but actually mix all the ingredients together in a giant mixer. I can tell you, with 100% certainty, that each box of generic white powdery crystals that we use to make the Coke Zero lists, quote, natural ingredients, end quote, on them, without listing anything specific even to us. So, dear Vangelis, there is nothing to fear. Everything natural is good, right? So, Aaron, just suck on that for a second with you and your Mountain Dew. Confirmed from the source, Coke Zero, all natural.
What makes something natural?
Yeah, it comes from nature, and it's good for you.
Yeah, okay. Technically, everything is natural.
Crude oil comes from nature.
Yeah, and if you use it right, it's good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go get you a barrel of crude. We'll see how much you can ingest before death.
I didn't say ingesting is using crude oil right, but, you know, if you're Coca-Cola is made by the experts. It's made by the people who run the world. And I'm sure when they say natural ingredients on a food product, sorry, drink product, means edible natural. Good for you, edible kind of natural.
You do know that all natural cocaine used to be in Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah, and that's part of why I really like to support the product, you know, out of support for what it once was and what it is now. You know, also it's not bright green or blue or whatever Mountain Dew's deciding to be in its ongoing 15-year midlife crisis as a soda. Anyway. I wanted to share
PepsiCo
that.
Is so sure of everything that they're bringing back Surge, which was their Mountain Dew knockoff.
Listen, PepsiCo, right? Pepsi. That's all we got to say. I have some news about the hub. It is no more. And that's pretty much as far as most people read on the news story. There is more to this, not lots more, but you guys remember the Hub, the Hasbro channel that opened up a year or however long ago?
3 years?
Mm-hmm. 3 years, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, something
like that.
It's
been a while
now. Anyway, it's coming down, only it's not. It was a joint venture between Discovery Networks and Hasbro. What's happening is Discovery is acquiring a majority stakeholdership, and it's going to be rebranded. I'm not sure where this part's coming from. It seems it's most likely going to be rebranded as Discovery Family. Hasbro will still retain some interest. Here's a part that I think some people miss, given some of the responses I got on Twitter about this. Hasbro is going to retain some interest and continue to provide programming from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So there's still probably going to be something Hasbro on there.
My swing is, I wonder how much of that is who the heck knows, understands what the hub is, but you call it Discovery and people know what Discovery Channel is supposed
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, because I think the hub is a cooler name than Discovery Family. Because, you know, hub is a cool word, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking, yeah, you know, call the 9 to 3 block the hub on Discovery Family.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to, because I was sitting there at first going like, well, what about all the branding on all their toys that says the hub?
You know what? Those toys are in the chain. By the time that the new toys come around, they can change that sticker.
I guess so. But they
don't care what the Prime toy boxes say because they're not selling those anymore.
I just kind of hope that this block still gets to be called the hub somehow, or that some block in the block gets to keep that name, because it's such a good name for a TV thing. You know, in a world where TV is more and more falling by the wayside, I thought the mm-hmm. name the hub really worked. But yeah, this is some decently big news. This combined with that, we'll talk about it, you know, after new picks, the Colombian information about RID and where that's going to be airing, at least in Colombia. Looks like, you know, the next year will be interesting. I mean, New York Comic Con's RID panel that's going to be happening in a couple weeks will probably shed a lot more light on what's up, I hope, if it isn't just the FCCC panel over again. But, yeah, it seems like the primetime slots may become more fully Discovery, or at least, you know, they can have some bleed-over Discovery programming, or original, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how TV works anymore. Aaron, you got any more thoughts on this?
It's something that doesn't terribly surprise me.
No, not me. No, not,
I think that Hub got torpedoed a little bit because most places it was also premium channel.
Yeah.
It wasn't ever in the lower or mid-tier cable packages, and because you have to buy things by package, then you have to be spending, what was it? I had like $130 a month when I still had cable television in order to have the package that had the hub. And that was like the only thing higher was like with all of the premium channel, like all the HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, Stars, whatever pack, the crazy, crazy pack. And it was definitely into something like, yeah, I really don't know why I have all of this to watch a channel or two up there.
Yeah,
I'm not going to have any cable anymore.
Imagine if the hub had come out like in the early to mid 2000s before the digital age really started to take over.
If it could have gotten some of the traction that like Cartoon Network had, because man, when Cartoon Network became a thing in 96, 7, I want to say off the top of my head, you know, if somebody else could have had a similar dig in on that early on, it could be something entirely different. But
it timed with the live action movie, right? Yeah. So it's if it could have come out closer to 07-08 even, I think something more solid could have happened. But yeah, like at that time, Animated was a partnership with Cartoon Network that was probably gonna, I bet you that was considered to be the thing that the hub eventually became. Like,
yeah,
you know, the future think in 07-08 was probably like, oh, this is gonna go somewhere, this.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm pretty sure I remember talking about that. I don't remember if that was an early show or just a guy sitting around talking about, but I wonder if some of that had some weight behind it, and the way that they've been bitten before on some of that cross-share stuff where they wanted to be able to control their own destiny, and then just they found out that it's a whole lot harder to do that than what they thought.
Well, like, what was hub programming outside of the 9 to 3 block, you know, aside from Prime? Like, that, to me,
it was old cartoons.
It was a lot, it's a lot of reruns. Every now and then they'd have a licensed movie on there.
Because that it sounded to me from people talking about Hub outside of current new shows is that every now and then it would have a real big nostalgia kick, but sometimes it would just be like, I don't know, we own this, put it on the channel.
Mm-hmm. It feels very early Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Right, you got a lot more notable shows, Transformers, G.I. Joe, the whatnot. But it seems very random and disjointed at times, too.
Yeah, like, oh, God, we have 24 hours to fill. What do we do?
Yeah, we'll go from Superhero Squad to Littlest Pet Shop. And there's a bit of a whiplash effect.
Man, All I know about that show is that the heroes were called the Squatties, and that sounded too much like medical terminology, and I just couldn't deal with it. Yeah, I mean, I never had Cartoon Network growing up, but I had Teletoon, which started some years after Cartoon Network, but it had its own similar growing pains, more of the Canadian style, where it opened actually with, like, a mixture of weird niche stuff and a lot of original programming that all eventually disappeared as it slowly assimilated the American counterpart's catalog.
Because American's better.
Became soulless, kind of like what happened to YTV. It was a bummer, because, you know, Canadian content is inherently more fun and indie and cool and... nationalism, woo yay. Anyway, I thought it was worth talking about, because, you know, as I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the Colombian info about RID, and there's something pertinent in there that could or could not be related to this. But yeah, I saw a lot of fear of, like, where's Transformers going to air? And it's like, two things. Number one, even with, you know, any kind of decline from the 07-09 numbers of the movies, I doubt anyone's going to have trouble selling a Transformers show to a network that shows cartoons. And number two, Hasbro is not, like, entirely pulling out of that channel. They're still, according to the article, a part shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they have a block on there. If they choose to use that for new programming or not is their prerogative. But, you know, they have a spot there. Anyway, let's talk about some new picture picks. TJ Omega, have you got a new picture pick for us?
One that isn't in a topic list already?
That would also, be a helpful thing, yes.
Mm. See. The last show was recorded on the 9th.
Yeah, you got wax and scads of stuff you can, just,
yeah,
whatever.
So, how about we go with the Chromia in hand?
Yeah, did you guys look at that eBay... seller at all?
After no.
That, okay, that seller had like a gajillion Chromias. So, and that seller now has a small handful of the Japanese deco of Voyager Skybite. So I'm wondering if that seller is in Hong Kong, but I thought all the operations moved to Vietnam. So I don't know. Did that actually happen? Or
I don't know. Every now and then, I still see Made in China on a box.
Yeah,
like, I specifically looked to see Made in Vietnam, and I rarely find it.
There was like a little bit of a spiel being made about how like they were going to move operations to Vietnam, and then you know, it's kind of just never talked about it again, and I didn't keep up with it. But
yeah, I thought they did it when all the factory leaks stopped.
Yeah, and so seeing like you know an army of loose Chromias on this eBay seller page, I was like, hey, wait a second, this feels familiar.
Yeah, I thought it was the smallest ones is what they were leading off with, because I could swear I remembered seeing all of the Viacons that I had the problem with.
I forgot
about
those
that. Were made in Vietnam.
Okay, yeah, I mean, if it's...
So it may be something where, like, the smaller, simpler stuff they've sent that way.
Yeah.
And,
like, if it's split production,
that
makes sense.
The bigger ones are maybe still coming out of China, but I don't know. I don't have any packaging around me right now to start digging on that.
Well, why not?
I know, I've got the Legends Optimus right now. It's made in China. It's fairly small and new.
Hmm. It's not Viacons, though. Viacons are special.
Apparently Vietnam fell through.
Mm. Viacon. Yep, Vietnam.
Yeah, that's right. Viet Cons from Vietnam. Thank you. Here all night.
Nam?
I don't know. Yeah. Nam. Thank you. Vietnam. Nam. Anyway, Chromia. Did you... I don't mean to kick this off here, but did you guys see the number of people who thought that was supposed to be her robot mode and all got real worried? Because I saw a whole lot of that, and I didn't know if people were being facetious or not. And I was like, please tell me that you understand that thing folds down, because it does.
That's always amusing.
I see people going like, well, I don't know about this toy anymore. If there's all that stuff over her head seems a little bit awkward. And I was like, yeah, it's because it's for the...
No, I'm sure factory worker from China knew exactly how to transform this thing.
Actually, you're wrong. That is the way it's supposed to be, but that's like the overhead burst bomb protection.
Right.
Like how the World War I British helmets were big, wide, and flat.
Yeah.
To keep that shrapnel from hitting you from above.
But a bunch of rubble comes from behind and above.
Yeah.
You know, Chromia's
set. She's fine.
Yeah.
What do you people have a problem with? Cheese. Never happy. It's fandoms. Never happy.
Yeah, I know. Friggin' Beast Wars in my masterpiece. Look at this Chromia. TJ, how you feeling about Chromia?
She's looking good. I'm digging the Cybertronian feel to the vehicle mode.
Yeah, I still can't believe this is a remold of Prime RC.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm looking at more pictures of it and knowing it, and I know how it transforms. I'm still like, man, everything's different.
Well, again, it's kind of misleading to say remold.
Well, okay, so it's been pointed out to me, and I agree with it, that... What part was it? It's like the biceps and, like, the collar. The breastplate look like they're mm-hmm. the same with different yeah. deco. So they're... And the hands, maybe?
So, actually, how much of her back, big back piece actually does collapse down? Because the whole, like, cycle area, that whole clear part looks like one big piece.
I think that clear part has some kind of hinge on it. I'd need to pull up BotCon okay. pictures.
Because, I mean, I could see where maybe there's a section that comes out and back down, but that is one big old... piece of clear plastic that doesn't have any obvious joint. I mean, there's no joint in the plastic itself. There are spots where it might come apart and allow things to collapse some.
Yeah. I still have a hope that that clear piece can come off and be used as a shield.
Yeah, it's just a big hunk that forms her entire back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's a separate piece, so I mean, even if it's not meant to, I'm sure it's removable, you know, somehow.
Well, knock some pins out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just build a little handle for it, and there you go.
Blowtorch.
That's right.
It'll come right off.
I just mm-hmm. pour acetone on it until it disappears. Then it's really clear.
And smooth.
Oh, so smooth. No fingerprints.
This Wait, is supposed... on you or the toy?
No comment. This is supposed to be out pretty soon, right? Like, this is coming out October, November?
I believe that's next wave, yeah.
Yeah, because... Crosscut and Wingblade just hit.
Yeah. Have either of you guys gotten Wingblade?
Just paid for mine.
But, like, not in hand yet?
Not in hand.
No. Okay. Dang, I wanted to ask questions about her, because I've been getting... from what I've read, and this, just with people that I know personally, like, real mixed reports on that figure.
Well, you can ask me questions about her. I can't promise they're accurate answers, but I'll make up something.
Is she made of diecast?
80%.
Just like G1. Excellent. Are you guys, I don't know, how do you guys feel about, I mean, has your guys' opinion changed at all on Chromia with these photos, or is it still pretty much what it was having seen her at summer cons?
I'm still a fan.
I am too. I definitely like for the difference of it and the fact that it is out of RC that It hits some interesting points for me.
I'm real happy because the RID RC was, like, looked over by a lot of people. It had a couple faults, but the core of it was actually a really cool toy. Is this yeah. the RID or the first? I think this is the RID.
I think it's
yeah,
the RID.
It's the RID.
Yeah, because the print RC was highly overlooked, but a pretty fun toy. And to have it reshelled and basically, as far as I can tell, enhanced in many ways... makes me pretty excited, because I'm okay having excuses to get a reason to mess with more copies of that toy, with, you know, variations yeah. and stuff.
Yeah, well, they minimized the shell, which was, like, the biggest problem.
Yeah.
You know, the print version had these, like, big angel wings that form, like, the entire sides of the vehicle mode.
And those got awesome on the Beast Hunter one.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that, like, I think that's one of the most underrated molds from at least the conversations I've seen. I don't know if maybe I just missed the people who picked that up instead of the first edition.
Well, the first edition, all those toys tended to overshadow the main releases.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were good toys. You know, this is no knock against first edition RC, it's just the Prid one hit a real good, what's the word I'm looking for? Good tempo of a toy.
Yeah.
Like, you can flip that thing open... flip it closed. It's fun. Thing that bums me out is there seems to be no sign of any stolen or half-built RCs, so still no word exactly how that toy works. But we'll all know in a month or two, so I guess I'm just impatient.
The car unfolds from her back and she hides in it.
Yeah. But how well does she hide? I just hope she doesn't have the problems like some of the worst wind blades have had of a really thin toy and all the joints feel like they're really thin too. Because that's the thing I've been hearing about Windblade. It's like, people who get a good one, she's fine. You get a bad one, she feels like she's made of tiny parts in the worst way. Which is all fixable. It's just, it's a bunch of work to fix. Well, moving on from there, Aaron, have you got a new picture pick?
Yeah. It's actually a announcement for next year.
You're an announcement for next year.
Yeah, sometimes. The Indianapolis Children's Museum is going to be having a Transformers exhibit there from March until July.
Man, I missed this news item.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and link it to you so that you can have it if you want to.
I'm looking at it right now. Don't worry.
Oh, fine. Then I won't link it to you.
I am so fast. I can even tell you Swoop Dog was the first response to the thread.
Okay.
Also, Swoop Dog is a pretty good name for a Transformers message board.
So, one of the interesting things is Carl Hartman is going to be doing some things for it.
Dang.
He's been, as he has shortly after that in the thread, talks about being a little bit of a consultant for a few parts of the exhibit. The Children's Museum generally goes pretty serious when they do these things. This isn't going to be like a little corner of an exhibit. This is going to be like a small hall area if it's like the couple other times I've seen them. When they had, I think they had like a Titanic exhibit that was a significant amount of stuff and like actual some of the relic parts that later expeditions to the site brought up from the ocean floor. So I figure since this is talking about that and the new TV show and everything, that it will be something pretty serious and significant, and probably shortly after it opens, I'll give first person review of it. But I'm excited for it.
Well, knowing that Carl Hartman's been consulted on it, you know, doesn't really mean one thing or another, but to me it means that they are taking it more seriously than just being like a means to market a movie and a TV show.
Right.
So that gets me pretty pumped, because Carl Hartman knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And he's really tall.
Yes, he's still really tall.
Yeah.
He probably will be forever.
You don't foresee Carl Hartman shrinking down to just a regular 5'9" or 5'11" anytime
soon. You're assuming he's going to go a long time without losing his legs below the knee.
There's some really bad weed eating incident. And
he's a cyborg. Like, you know, you can, something went at his legs, it would just bounce off.
What if he loses his legs, he gets new ones, and he's taller?
I know. He's gonna be like Extendar.
Don't even start that.
Carl
That's scary.
His legs just start extending like Stilt
Carl
Man.
Stilt Man.
Anyway, I'll happily give Carl Hartman some more ideas. That seems cool. Yeah, definitely. Like, once that opens up, Aaron, you gotta be our podcast representative. Head on in there, wave your Yelp card around.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, hey, listen, give me the good tour, all right? I'm on Yelp. I will screw you up if I don't like what I see.
Don't you know what this card means?
I can give you
nothing.
I can give you a 1 out of 5 stars on Yelp.ca. Your Metacritic will be terrible. And there's like, we're a children's museum. You just go wandering off. Well, my own new picture pick is a lot less interesting or exciting. It's only really exciting to like me and a handful of people. That children's museum thing, I don't know how I missed that. I guess I don't read the front page all the time. But I want to talk about some pictures of toys. There's a lot of pictures of Masterpiece toys up right now, but we're going to talk a whole lot about those Masterpiece toys once we actually have them. So, I don't know. I just don't feel as inspired to talk about them. We're going to have full dissertations of those things once they're in hand. I want to talk about the Autobots United 5-pack, because this was the thing I got all pumped about at BotCon. And there is now an in-hand gallery from Blacklie of TFND.net. And I flipped through these pictures. I think this 5-pack looks frigging good. A lot of these toys have got, a lot of them have got a lot of paint that helps them a ton. Drift being the easy example. They edged a whole lot of his armor plates with a lighter blue that does wonders for that toy. The side-by-side really says it all. Also, like, great paintwork on... I almost called him Cross Eyes. His name is Crosshairs.
That'd be a better name, though.
Yeah, well, Cross Eyes.
Those goggles? That's why he has to wear those goggles.
Look at all the paint!
Yeah, but he can't shoot straight.
Look at all the paint they put on him! It's great. He's got, like, the car details on both sides of the car now. It's kind of weird that you gotta wait for the premium, but whatever. The Hound's got camo. Bumblebee looks okay. I can't really tell which Bumblebee is which, to be honest. Prime
is
Bumblebeeist.
Yeah, the Bumblebee is the one where I really wish there was a great convention, because it looks like he changes sides of... Yeah, like a lot of times when you do these reviews, the old one's left and the new one's right.
Yeah.
And there are a couple times where it seems like that convention gets flipped, and so it was for Bumblebee, I wasn't real sure.
The thing that also doesn't help is on his blog, he said it's implied when I looked at the blog, I mean, it's not in English, but I saw AD in there, because basically, he doesn't have the American Bumblebee, that's why they both have black forearms. He's got the Japanese Bumblebee that had all the a couple of extra paint apps that really did wonders for it. Problem is... I can't tell which one's which. So looking at the in-box shot, the Bumblebee who has silver on his shins is the new one.
Okay.
So, okay. I think that the main thing about this Bumblebee is, like, in the vehicle mode, they painted the hubcaps and finished the stripe running down the trunk. I don't know. The thing about this set is, it's good versions of four pretty friggin' good toys and Crosshairs, who is arguable as to whether or not he's good. I still don't really know how I feel about him. I flip constantly. But Crosshairs aside, you are getting Drift, who's a very solid deluxe. You're getting Hound and Evasion Prime, two really good Voyagers. And you're getting the new vehicle Bumblebee, who is really good. I think he is my favorite movie Bumblebee toy outside of Cyberfire. And Cyberfire is more so for the deco than the actual toy. I think a lot of people ended up skipping this new Bumblebee, and if you get the chance to...
I've not seen it yet.
Or yeah, I guess just haven't seen him on shelves at all, but he breaks a lot of the Bumblebee conventions for a movie Bumblebee in a way that I'm really happy about. It feels like whoever designed that toy just went like, no, we're not gonna use these legs again! We're changing it! it feels like the best kind of design frustration of someone just going like, we are not using that transformation again. We're doing something else. And it turned out pretty good, at least on the Japanese one. So, I think this five pack looks as good as I'd hoped. I'm really pumped about it because they are very deranged characters, but I like these five Autobots as characters, as a team. So, I dig this box set. I don't know. Aaron, how do you feel about this, seeing the in-hand photos?
I still like them. Definitely the biggest punch up I noticed on Crosshairs was the forearm paint.
Yeah.
That and the like red V at his waist really makes it clear how poor the first one was.
Well, the first one was basically like green and this void of black and gunmetal in the middle.
It definitely improves each and every one of these to see. And I don't know, what is the price of that aiming to be in the U.S.?
Have they set a price yet? Because I don't think...
I don't know.
I think it came up at some recent show, and now I can't remember. I always assumed this...
Anything more than 60 would be seem like they're trying to run away, because 70 would be low-end retail for the figures individually.
Yeah, like, my assumption was 70 or under because of all the extra paint, basically.
Yeah.
If it's, like, $99.99, I would be like, oh, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Actually, the retail price on these toys right now would be, like, $95.
But you can still get Voyagers for $20 and Deluxes for $10.
Yeah, but you know, they want you to spend $15 and $25 for them.
Yeah, well...
I'm just over here in Canada not caring about all your guys' woes. Don't mind me.
Yeah.
We got listeners in Australia who are just like,
yeah, Australia and Europe are just going like, yeah, well, what a bunch of babies, because we will never know the hardships they have dealt with as Transformers collectors. But yeah, I'm hoping this thing, like, even if it doesn't end up being decently priced when it comes out, it sucks to say it, but if that happens, then at least it'll probably be decently priced a few months later.
Yeah. Just you have to be there for the 1 week that they're actually on clearance and not all bought through.
Well, BBTS is going to be carrying these too, and they are not gun shy about putting their exclusives down if it just isn't working. Like, look at the Dark Energon guys.
Oh yeah.
Not to say I want these. Just, like, that's the weird thing. I mean, it's easy to say, like, hey, I'd love to wait for a sale, and I just want to acknowledge, like, yeah, it's also it's not good for the franchise we all like if we're all waiting for sales, but. It's not our individual responsibilities to pay full retail either. It's your choice. You know, it's there's no black and white good and evil in all this. It's shades of gray when you're buying toys. But I think it looks cool. And I think it looks way more interesting than the Dinobot 5-pack, I hate to say. Like, the Dinobot one's cool, like doing them all in like smoke and metal and black, but I don't know. I just like this is just such a nice characterful box. I know a lot of folks, you know, just if they didn't get caught up in the Wave 1 hype, it was kind of like, I'm going to just skip this Age of Extinction stuff. And that kind of puts you in this great position where if you see this 5-pack and you just feel like going for it, it's like I said, it's 4 really good toys and a questionable crosshairs. Maybe he'll really pop when he has more color. But that's our new picture pick section. So let's get back to talking about future media. What do you guys know about Columbia?
That's where the cocaine comes from?
Decent movie company.
Okay, so I'm not talking about cocaine or movies, but I will say that I have no opinion on cocaine and movies are cool. We got scans of a Hasbro product line catalog that came from the Transformers Columbia Facebook group. And it's got like handwritten notation on it and stuff. Anyway, the main stuff to pull out of here is really the fact that in Colombia, at least, Robots in Disguise will air on Cartoon Network and premiere on March 15th next year. The implication being it will probably air before then in the States. So that means, like, first quarter 2015 is when that show will probably debut. And the thing is, I don't think this necessarily means it will be on Cartoon Network in the States. Because Cartoon Network is a multinational entity.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It shows all kinds of different stuff depending where you are in the world. In the Philippines, it shows English dubs of Kamen Rider shows. In Korea, it shows Tobots. And it doesn't do that elsewhere in other forms of Cartoon Network. So this doesn't really mean, you know, 100% American Cartoon Network is going to be carrying Transformers again. I got the implication it was kind of a messy breakup back when Animated finished. But I don't know for sure. But I don't know. How do you guys feel about that news? I mean, Aaron, what do you think is up? What do you think's in the air?
You know, I could see it either way. I'd really think with Hasbro keeping a block on the rebranded hub that they're going to want to use that. But at the same time, I wonder what the viewership numbers were between stuff on the hub and stuff on Cartoon Network, just again for the fact of saturation of how many people could watch it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, oh, well, a lot of this target audience was nowhere near the hub, so they were watching whatever Cartoon Network had on at the time. Versus, hey, if we can go back to Cartoon Network, and because there's been enough of a change of time and personnel from one place to the other that we can, you know, go back and say like, hey, remember when we did that cool stuff together? Could we maybe do that again?
This does speak volumes to the, you know, otherwise ignored pack-in DVDs on some of the deluxe figures for mm-hmm. Prime. I mean, between that and like, it was available on iTunes as well, I believe, but yeah. I don't, this is how out of touch I am with you know, the scenario right now. I'm not sure if iTunes season passes are a thing that the target audience take part in actively. So,
yeah, I don't know. I could see adult fans going towards that. I could maybe see parents that have potentially cut the cable, looking at that and seeing a cost savings because the kid really likes, or they really like, Transformers, and this is an easier way to deal with it.
Yeah.
But.
Well, TJ, what are you taking from this Colombian Cartoon Network news?
Honestly, it really doesn't confirm anything.
Well, it does for Colombia.
For Colombia, yes. Okay, I will give Colombia credit. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
Thing is, you're right. In most other countries, Cartoon Network is a catch-all. Most other places, you don't have multiple networks for cartoons to go to. That's pretty much the only game in town some places. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got a new cartoon, that's where it's going to go.
Yeah, and
there really isn't an option to it.
In the case of, like, this is, you know, a bit of a niche case, but in South Korea, the wildly popular Tobots cartoon is on Cartoon Network and, like, 8 other channels. So, it's not even a case of, like, Cartoon Network is always exclusive. You know, if it's outside of the States, they kind of have more open doors. Sometimes it actually makes me a little envious of other nationalities' versions of Cartoon Network. Like, it seems like a more interesting network.
Oh yeah.
Elsewhere, or when it's not quite so, because in the States, I don't think they're like dead rigid, but Cartoon Network is, I understand it to be very like particular about like being the place to see what's on it.
Yeah, well, I like the different attitudes they have. You know, Cartoon Network over here, they say, well, we want to do live action shows, and they make a show about building things and then blowing them up.
Yeah, cartoons.
You know, meanwhile over there, they dub Kamen Rider.
Yeah, which is ostensibly more cartoon than blowing stuff up is kind of Looney Tunes, I get. I still feel weird about live action stuff on Cartoon Network.
It's luckily, like in the friggin' name of the network, Cartoon Network. Well, it's a network for cartoons.
To be fair, the guy who spearheaded all that is gone.
Yeah.
And most of the shows he created are gone, too. It just, like, such like low level stuff, like, okay, it's called build, destroy, build, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like the part of Mythbusters people watch without the science to it.
So it's a high budget YouTube channel
pretty much.
Because I believe Cartoon Network picked up, I went looking into this trying to figure out something about one of those multi-channel networks. Cartoon Network has a TV deal with Annoying Orange, which was another popular YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
And they bought in on it, and it's not really a cartoon either, from what I understand. But the crux of this is Cartoon Network in Colombia airing Transformers. It's not really a big 100% thing. I don't even know if people are assuming that either, but that was the first inclination I got from reading this. The rest of the info on here about the toys, I don't think there's too much really to talk about in here. Like, the details about the deluxes are misprinted as being the one-step toys, and the Legends figures are said to be less than 20 steps to transform, which is being extremely generous.
Three steps is less than 20,
They
isn't
are
it?
Definitely often less than 20 steps to transform.
What's your problem, then?
I got no problem. Maybe I'm a little oversensitive.
Hey, if they're re-releasing the Combiner Devastator from the second movie, that might get to 20. Just saying.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that
I'm
would...
just saying, they might just be giving themselves a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, a lot of wiggle room. But the numbers on here of figures are, you know, something that's worth considering. It seems like the Legends assortment is going to be 12 figures. Hyper Change is apparently 3-step transformation with 6 figures. The 1-steps are apparently going to have 14 toys. So, I don't even know if that's, like, the whole assortment for, like, all of 2015, or if that's just, like, projection for 2015. If, you know, is the line going to go beyond 2015? The interesting thing on here, at least I thought the interesting thing, was in terms of Titan figures. It seems they're going to be doing another 5-pack of Titan figures, but it's going to be the Seekers. And they did one of those 5-packs for San Diego, right? Like the G1 Titans? The kind of overlooked San Diego toy? It had like Grimlock in it and stuff.
Seems familiar.
Yeah, like
yeah,
a lot of
those. Oh, the ones all the G1 molds.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the Seeker thing is going to be like an add-on to that. You know, like, hey, if you got the G1 Titans, here's a bunch of jets.
There's a picture of it somewhere.
Yeah, it's out there. I mean, Titans are not really a thing I'm into. I've more so now than maybe a year ago come to understand the draw of the G1 Titans to some folks. Or just Titans in general. I mean, they call back to giant vinyl toys, and there is a collector scene for that. They are totally not my thing. But yeah, like the toy info on this is pretty sparse. I don't know. Aaron, did you have any other thoughts on the toy end of the leaks that we got?
Not really. It seemed like a lot of this stuff lined up with the shadows of, at least, of what we saw before.
Yeah.
So, they're going to make toys for the TV show that's coming out.
Gasps. Well, damn.
Kel Supreme.
I guess we don't have to cancel the podcast. We're going to have stuff to talk about in 2015. Okay. TJ, any other thoughts from you on the leaks, or is that about it?
Nah, not necessarily. It's mostly wait and see stuff.
Yeah. I think that my fingers are crossed that New York Comic Con will be the start of a big info release on our ideas we lead towards whenever its debut is. I think it's real coin toss. It's going to either be that, or it's going to be the New York Comic Con, like, sizzle reel again. And that's that. Like, I also don't know if Hasbro are going to actually have really a presence at New York Comic Con. Because when I was there in 2011, they had a whole panel about Prime, but they didn't really have much representation there. Like, they had a booth, but it was kind of like big and empty. And like they were there, but they were there on Thursday or something last year with a press event, but they didn't have a booth last year. So I don't know. We'll know in early October if early October is going to be a big news day or not. But moving on from there, let's do a listener question, because I got one from Brother James, who sent this in late July. So I'm not doing listener questions necessarily in order anymore. I'm kind of just picking and choosing, but I'm still trying to, you know, if I got to make a decision, I'm going for the ones that have been in there the longest.
So if he hasn't read your question, it's because it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to infer that, it's up to you.
It doesn't mean anything.
I don't believe that's the reason why.
Other than he loves some of you more than others.
But yeah, I got this question here. It says, in a store or club-exclusive situation, do you think Transformers would benefit from accessory or weapon packs, like the G.I. Joe ones of old or the current Mattel Masters of the Universe weapons packs, which are friggin' big, wide, blister-carded nonsense, but I kind of dig it. That was me editorializing, by the way. Brother James is thinking, like, three generic guns could just be redecos of any of the 30 years' worth of weapons in Transformers. One projectile weapon, one random minicon, one target master, like recolors of the nightstick mold from Universe, and a headmaster, like maybe just Brainstorm's head from the upcoming toy. This will give old and new collectors something no matter what they collect. G1, Armada, RID, current line, something to boost accessory lacking or lost parts bots new life. I think the idea is kind of cool. I mean, like, Transformers is definitely, they were almost going in this direction when they were really utilizing the C-clips, the 3mm clips. And I think Transformers, and just toys in general, indie or otherwise, I feel like there is more 5mm unification going on than there was in the last couple of years. Like, you know, 5mm pegs. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, across the decades of major toy collecting you can do, 5mm is a very common and usable peg size. And so I think, you know, this could work. You know, a couple 5mm enhanced, or not enhanced, 5mm compatible weapons. Maybe a couple C-clip weapons. And, yeah, like, you know, a minicon has a 5mm on them, usually. The Target Master and Headmaster I think would be cool once, but if those are our only two molds to use, you know, and
especially
like,
if there's only one current Headmaster.
Yes, yeah, like alternate heads for Brainstorm, I guess. And you know, Scoop has got those two Target Masters, so I get we've got a couple, but I don't know. I think it's a cool idea. It definitely would need to be a store exclusive kind of thing. Like, I don't think this would have the weight to carry it to like mass retail. It'd probably be like a Toys R Us or a big bad toy store kind of thing. Mm. Aaron, what ideas have you got on this?
I think we've talked about this in the past with with the 3mm clips, that would be a very neat system to go for. Because I think even with what we have now, having the 5mm pegs and ports, which you could do part of that, like you said, as a Minicon, I think it's something that maybe one in a year's worth of releases might be an interesting thing to have different weapons, because, you know, sometimes there's probably a toy they wish they could have put a gun on.
Yeah.
But just ran out of parts. Or, you know, you get situations like the Evasion Mode Prime's shotgun. Look at that. It goes with the last movie's Megatron and has a special notches in the handle in order to do it right. Maybe use something like that as the way that the designers get to run through that stuff and be like, hey, look, we really wanted to get you this last time, but we couldn't. Now we can.
Transformers will never be the same again. TJ, what about you? What do you think about weapon packs?
I'm trying to imagine just how viable it might be. You know, because I'm not exactly sure how many weapons these days are gang molded in with other parts and how many are separate sprues completely. So we see a lot of toys that get separate weapons, like the Geoxys just came out with guns instead of swords.
And that kind of thing. That Voyager helicopter drift has an original head and original swords.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Dark of the Moon toys are real set up for that kind of thing, since like the mech tech weapons appear to have been very isolated.
Oh yeah, but how many of the mech tech weapons are really all that good?
The Buzzsaw one, I like that one. It spins when it comes out. Buzz buzz.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, it's something that has merit to it. I'm just not exactly sure there's enough to actually make it viable.
But I think Aaron's on the right track of doing it like once, maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't saturate something like that, because there's only just so many people who would be after more guns.
Right? Yeah, and
but that's the thing, is you don't necessarily at that point you don't make it stuff that's just come off of. You could make something that looks like Prime's Ion Blaster. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily need to have been Prime's Ion Blaster. Just, you know what, it's something close. And, you know, the last Prime we put out couldn't take it just due to parts count. So, hey, here it is. Or, just generic a gun.
I feel like this might be the kind of thing that they would look at and say, maybe, like, for now, we'll make this the purview of super fan art.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah, even better.
That
yeah.
seems like the place where this would thrive, this idea. Yeah. Like, and I feel like because of that, Hasbro, I mean, they could spend the money to gang mold an accessory pack, or they could just say, hey, look at super fan art. They have 1 bajillion add-on pack ideas for all of our toys.
I think that I think the timing for that probably would have been when the Fall of Cybertron toys were coming out, just to fill out all the guns you can get in those games.
Yeah, that was the only time I think it would have really been an on-package marketable thing. And they kind of tried to do that, because they were like, you know, it comes with this weapon from the game, and you could put it in this other guy's hand if you want to. And, you know.
They tried.
Yes, you can, because 5mm pegs. but yeah, like, super fan art, I think, and just independence in general, be they, you know, unlicensed stuff like Dr. Wu, or, you know, just things aiming to be across-the-board compatible, like BMOG. Like, the niche is very much filled, and I almost wonder if, like, does, outside of stuff like, you know, a Headmaster head, does Hasbro even really need to do it themselves? It's all out there.
Soon you're going to 3D print everything you need.
Yeah, and, like, if, you know, if Super Fan Art is allowing for, you know, a lot of the existing upgrade packs, I could see all other Headmasters being done on there. All kinds of stuff. There's a whole bunch of Target Masters already out there on Shapeways. I'm not sure how many of them are taking part in, you know, the super fan art thing, but I've seen a couple out there, and they look pretty cool. Anyway, hope that answered your question. I was looking at something that I received from someone else, so I almost said the wrong name. Hope that answered your question, Brother James. There was one other thing I meant to bring up when we were talking about the Hub and Colombian RID and Cartoon Network, and I'll just bring it up quickly, just see what you guys think. Do you guys think that Hasbro no longer being the majority shareholder in their own TV channel might open them up to licensing a show to appear on Cartoon Network now? You think that might be part of the strategy?
Possibly.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's something that crossed my mind.
I could see it a little bit. I mean, that's kind of what I was saying going back to, even though they own this channel, why wouldn't they try and put it someplace that's going to get a whole lot more eyeballs on it? And I...
Because I imagine...
I could see Cartoon Network feeling better about it because it's like, wait, you want to use us when you've got a direct competitor to us as well?
Yeah, like if Hasbro is now a minority shareholder in that channel...
Right.
Like, I don't know if that changes things, but in my mind, I figure, like, when they were, like, you know, the owners of a whole TV channel, like, you know, Cartoon Network would be like, no, I'm not showing your stuff.
Yeah.
All your toys say go to your own TV channel, so why would we, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, it just crossed my mind. Another thing that crossed my mind, when you were talking about not knowing everything about what's on the steel molds, I was like, yeah, like, there's no transparency in what's, you know, in those gated molds. Like, we don't know what's gated from what, and, you know, darn it, that's collusion. That's friggin' we should know. What if it's corrupt? Hashtag Gatorgate. Anyway, it's time for an intermission, so we'll talk to you after this about what we got this week. Stay tuned.
Please, the old stuff isn't enough anymore. It takes me a whole month's pay to stay high for just one night.
Those are the breaks, babe. You want to buy or not?
Good sir, the lady looks tired. Why not introduce her to our newest product? It's called Spark.
Certainly, Headman. Cindy, I guarantee you've never had anything like this before.
Get out!
Get out of our neighborhood!
Get him!
After him!
This way! Quick!
Get him!
After him!
No more selling drugs to kids!
Defenses! Now!
You people must be fools to try to interfere with me. I am above the law. I rule this block. I rule this city. And soon, with my drugs, I will rule your lives. I am the Headman. And the Headman reigns supreme!
Man, I sure hope Aaron has some Transformers so I don't have to question his devotion to both the fandom and this podcast. Hi, everyone. I just came back and sat down here at the podcast. We're going to talk about what we got this week. Aaron, tell me all about the Transformers you got this week. Well.
So this is awkward.
We don't got all day, Aaron.
How
many Viacons?
None.
Okay, that's fine. There aren't any on the market right now. How'd you do?
I have a dog that had massive abdominal surgery.
You know, you could turn him into a Transformer.
Okay.
And then he wouldn't have intestines anymore because he'd be a cyborg.
Right.
And he could probably transform into like a sick football helmet or like a rocket launcher.
Okay.
Just saying. So I infer that you don't have any Transformers to talk about this week as far as acquisitions or etc.
No, I don't.
Well, you know what? I don't either.
He did. He forgot to stay tuned.
Don't feel bad because now it's cool to not have any Transformers.
You're never cool.
What the cool kids are doing.
Yo, TJ Omega, did you get any Transformers this week?
Nope.
Freaking cool kids club over here.
Yep. No, actually I'm completely lying here. I wanted to fit in.
High school drama happens all over. What Transformers did you get?
I caved and grabbed the SDCC Dinobots.
Oh, yeah. I feel weirdly vindicated that everyone I know who got them seemed to think they are as good as I think they are. Because I was like, am I just blinded by the fact that I got a San Diego exclusive? Because I think these look really good, and it seems like Stan, Nurse Midnight, thinks they're pretty cool. Geronimus thinks they're pretty cool. What do you think? Do you hate them?
No.
Okay, good.
I have no animosity toward the toys themselves. No.
Yay!
Aside from the set feeling overpriced,
you got to really be able to engage the package as part of the premium.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel anything from that, then yeah, like the price kind of sucks.
Mhm. But for what they are, they're all really neat toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like what they do paint-wise. Grimlock with the inside-out paint job.
Yeah.
Really good. Like, that's a really cool effect I wish they'd do more often.
I think that they came up... It sounded like it's an idea they came up with while trying to solve the conundrum of representing what the G1 toy had. And ideally, you know, that'll be part of the toolbox. Like, something that they can come back to.
Yeah. That's a really cool toy. I don't know why the head is chromed.
Why not?
Because it's got a jaw-snapping feature, and I'm scared to death of things chipping everywhere.
I think that's just, you know, it's a quiet way to say, this jaw-snapping feature's dumb, so don't use it.
I will say, the chrome on the tail actually fixes the connection point.
I was really surprised by how the chrome seemed to gel with all of those toys. Like, I was terrified of how Slug would turn out. With, like, chrome everywhere, and he's such a bang-bang parts-together kind of transformer.
Yeah.
But it all just, like, kind of works, at least on mine.
I think they went a little too chrome-happy on him.
Yeah, like the amount on his head plates is kind of freaky, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, like, some about it really kind of bribes me. Like, I feel okay about it.
I don't know. If they're going so G1 slavish, I really wish I... got some gold chrome on his head, just so it didn't look like his head plate was just like forming his entire skull.
Well, it's a mirror, you know? Mirror into your soul, penance stare, before he headbutts you. How do you feel about the tempo on the chrome on Swoop?
I don't mind it so much.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Like, I wasn't actually sure that was doable. To, like, you know, do a paint app that, you know, is, like, on a flat surface that is chromed. Like, I'm not sure if that's the order of operations in which it happened, but that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. See, now, I'm pretty sure I've seen Transmetals that did that. Because they always tampograph, like, the logo Maximal.
Oh, yeah! I forgot about that. Yeah, I guess you're right. I just haven't seen it for a while.
Hmm. No, they're all like really cool decos. Like I love that they shouldn't work, but they do.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times when movie toys go for a G1 deco, it's just something is just too off. Something it just doesn't feel right. It feels forced. A lot of these work really well.
I think it's because they thought outside of the box on that set, in a number of ways, like the inside out paint, just, you know, the use of chrome and in the proper way on a lot of those toys.
Yeah.
Like, as someone who really doesn't care for just odious amounts of chrome for chrome's sake, that set does it real well. Like, the snarl in that set is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the way that they hit all the marks just right. And, like, that whole set is all about, you know, the G1 look and chrome being a premium thing. But something about the way that set uses the chrome, it feels like this is how I like to see this stuff used. Like, it's like, there's a lot of it, but yet it doesn't feel like there's too much of it. It doesn't feel like it's being wasted in its placement as much as I feel like, you know, on Leader Jetfire. It's just like, his guns are shiny. Because.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, I guess?
Yeah, and nothing reaches a Henkei level.
Yeah, like, you know, the easy example is always going to be Henkei Galvatron. It's just like, yo, my tank turret's chromed because I'm rich! Oh, what do you think of the pop-up box?
The box is glorious. That's... I've wanted some kind of ARC playset for so long, and it's made of cardboard, but that looks like a really good one.
Well, did you put any figures on it yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, it can take
photograph,
it.
Yeah, photographed pretty easily. It does not go with the toys it comes with in any way.
Yeah, I mean, like, they sort of show up on the G1 arc, and they're like, yo, we're from G1. A bunch of movie dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really...
all towering colossus.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I put it this way to a friend of mine. It made my collection of G1 Legends toys finally pay off.
Oh, they are. Yeah, they are wonderful for that arc set.
Yeah.
And they're so light that, like, I mean, that thing can take Deluxe's standing on it. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, the Legends are so light that it's just like, yeah, this is what you were for.
You
found your place to belong. You set this up next to Metroplex if you somehow have the room to do so. And boom.
Yeah, I need a bigger table so I can just have, like, that and Trypticon just standing next to each other.
Yeah.
This is in a scene that's about to go very bad. No, but you put, like, I got the new, the reason I had, like, the Legends Optimus out is because he is so perfect scale for that thing. Like, right there on the computer terminal. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Says where that it's an incredible thing to include. And it looks beautiful. It works really well. If you've got the toy small enough to use it, it actually works as a playset.
And it's kind of ruined boxes for me now for gift sets. Because it's like, I'm looking at it, it's kind of unfair for me to do this. Jeez. But, I mean, you give me something like this, I look at convention boxes now, and I'm just like, I guess they're cool. I guess. Do they fold open? No? Oh, well.
I had a heart attack moment when I tried to get the tray out for the first time.
It's tricky because the cardboard stuff inside, if you don't know how it's arranged, it feels like you've hooked on the pop-up.
Yeah.
Because I had that thing too, but that's just that dumb insert in there.
Yeah, because there's this weird cardboard thing rolled up and taped inside, and it sticks in there. You can't pull the tray out right away, and I go, oh, God, please tell me I'm not ripping this thing inside out.
Yeah, so I just yanked once I looked in there, and I was like, I don't think this is the pop-up because there's, like, a surface on the ceiling in there. And, yeah, it's just the rolled-up cardboard tube. It gets caught on the top edge of the inside of the lip by the tray.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's safe. The only bummer I had with mine was, like, some of the glue came undone on the support strut for the upper part of the base. So I just have to go and get me some white glue and glue it back in. And I haven't done that yet because dollar stores are so far away, like almost 10 minutes away. I keep forgetting.
I feel so sorry for you.
What else am I going to use white glue for? That's my mindset, I think. It's subconsciously.
Next elementary school project you have?
Just, you know, wipe a bunch on my hand in a layer and let it dry. And
construction paper and some macaroni.
Did you guys ever do that when you were kids in elementary school? Like, do the layer of white glue on your palm and then peel it off?
Yes.
Not the whole palm, but yeah.
Oh, I did the
fingertips to get your fingerprints. Yeah.
I did the whole palm. Get a big, just massive palm print. There's something real satisfying about peeling it off. And I knew a kid who tried to do his whole hand, and he got freaked out when he wasn't a very smart kid. And, I mean, we were less than 10 years old, so none of us were very smart. But he was, in particular, he didn't think ahead very well. So he dipped his whole hand in white glue, and then afterwards realized, wait, this is going to take a while to set, and now I can't use my hand. And he got real freaked out. Anyway.
I love that he's so dedicated to it that he got freaked out and then went, oh, I can wash it off. Use my hands.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know what to do when my hand's covered in glue. And it's like, why'd you put glue all over your hand? I wanted to peel it off after it dried. It's like, well, what did you think was going to happen between now and it drying? I don't know. Anyway, children. Well, welcome to the ownership of a, I think, pretty fine San Diego exclusive.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Did you, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention, I've talked all the toys before. Snarl was my first experience on that mold.
Oh.
I was kind of shocked. The way that toy is engineered feels like some kind of upgrade of the original G1.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool toy. I got the Japanese version of it, so I don't know how the American one turned out. But it is a toy more so made to not have chrome all over those plated parts.
Yeah.
Because the chrome one, you kind of feel like you got to be ginger with it so things don't bang together. It's so, I don't know, it feels like a tension being released when you get that toy without the chrome where you don't have to worry about the plate scraping. It's just like, whatever, they're clear plastic, unpainted. Crank, crank, crank.
I think I got that from Universe Dirge, which was the Galaxy 4 Starscream repaint.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I can finally play with this toy and not worry about replacing and something that'll cost me $80.
I just got the Galaxy Force one when it came out and then later found out how lucky I was to do so.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Good times. Yeah. Well, aside from San Diego Dinobots, did you do anything else Transformers-y?
No, I'm kind of sitting on my piles of loots and private warehouses and just waiting for everything to come in.
And are you thinking you might go for the G1 Amazon slog that goes with the San Diego guys?
Already pre-ordered.
Yeah, it's kind of something you can't not do if you actually went through and got that set. Yeah.
You're pot committed at that point.
Yeah, because if you bought the San Diego set and then you're like, I don't know if I want to spend $30 on a Voyager, it's kind of like, buddy.
Buddy. There's a weird part of me that's... Well, I pre-ordered that one first before I even knew if I would be able to get this, and I don't know what Hasbro Toy Shop is doing, but it's the set's still for sale.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
I think that they must have, you know, they put out the first... It's happened before when they put out a block and it sells out, then they put out a second block, and I guess this time, just, you know, the first block was all they really needed. Now they just got a happy little perpetual stack of them. Maybe they only have, like, three. I don't know.
Maybe. But there's always this... There's this thing in the voice in the back of my head going, you bought this toy not so that you would have the San Diego Comic-Con Dinobots, but more so... You didn't want to cancel the G1 slog.
So it worked backwards for you.
Hey, there's an import collector in me that goes, hey, you can justify this small stupid purchase with this very large stupid purchase.
Well, number one, you got to stop having voices in your head. That's scary. Number two, you should probably do something about those obligations, because those are dangerous paths. Fall down. I don't know, feeling an obligation to pursue expensive toys because of one toy. I'm trying to get away from that. But then again, we'll talk about what I got this week in a bit. Because if that's all the Transformers you got, I guess we can go into our off topics.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, well, I got all my stuff from Korea that I ordered on my birthday when I decided to buy myself things for my birthday. So I was talking about the Tobots cartoon. I got a bunch of Tobots. These are these Korean toys by a company called Young Toys. They are currently like one of the leading brands of toddler toys in Korea. I say toddler because all their boxes say for ages 37 months plus. So they are aiming at the age bracket that is occupied by like Super Sentai stuff. Like they got Kyuriger going on over there right now on the shelves as well. And Tobots is kind of beating Kyuriger, which I don't know what the Korean market necessarily is always like, but to me that seems kind of impressive. And they had a big item come out, which I think I mentioned before, that beat Lego during Christmas time. Which, again, maybe it's the Korean market, but I think that's kind of impressive. So I got a couple of these things. The main two that I really wanted to get were these two. So Tobots all have, like, letter names, and they've got, like, variations. So, like, the line started with three toys, which was Tobots X, Y, and Z. And I haven't messed with those. I've heard that they are not as well made as the current ones, and I just wanted to get the current ones, because they're better made, apparently. So I got Evolution Y and Adventure Z, and they are pretty fun toys. Evolution Y is not as poseable as he looks, which is kind of a bummer, but he's very impressive to transform, and he turns into like a kind of futuristic sports car. The Evolution guys, X and Y, both turn into just sort of, like, they're based on Kia vehicles, but they're more futuristic and fantastical. All the other Tobots turn into Kia-ass, Kia-branded vehicles, which is funny because Kia vehicles are not necessarily sexy vehicles. They're kind of just...
No.
They're, you know, blocks that are on wheels and drive places.
But they're make-a-go boxes.
Yeah, but Kia is, like, the main supporter... of, you know, on the car side of Tobots. It's kind of funny. It's like this weird mutation of the General Motors Transformers thing, where GM is all about their sexy cars turning into sexy robots in a sexy movie. And over in South Korea, we've got Tobots, where it's like Kia is all about their clunky SUVs turning into big clunky robots on a kid's show. It's an interesting parallel. But Adventure Zed, the one on the right there, he turns into a Kia Sorento. And he is a fantastic toy. If you're going to get a Tobot, he is the one to get. That guy is like to his top of his head. He's 10 inches tall. To the top of those shoulder pylons, he's 11 inches tall. and he's like 7 or 8 inches wide. And these things are like a mixture of Transformers and Power Rangers. So it's like cars that turn into robots, but everything has a C-clip for where it ends up in either mode. So I'm just going to transform him into a car while I'm talking. Aaron, you might like some of these noises. It's just like nothing but stuff popping and clicking. If you look at his shoulders, his shoulder ratchets actually inject into the front two wheels of the car. Like they go into where the hubcaps would be. And it's kind of a cool touch.
That seems neat.
Because they can retract and inject in there. Also, the whole top of the car has got clips for everything. There's a part where it just pops, and it's like, it feels like chewy cookies popping together. I don't know. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Oh! Anyway, the thing is a joy to transform. The car mode may or may not be 1 to 22 scale. I'm not quite sure. And it's a little bit of a somewhat squished Kia Sorento, but it's a beefy thing. It's like solid parts. And I don't know if you can tell from the robot mode, but Adventure Zed in particular, he is such a good transformer because like all of his mass is car mass. Like the hood of the car, the full hood of the car is his chest. The doors fold up to become those shoulder pylon things. There's no kibble on him. There's just like, you know, the shoulder armor stuff sticking up is like the front windshield split in half. And it's just really well built. And there's this whole thing where they have these, every Tobot comes with like a key, and Adventure Zed is one of the ones where the key just kind of splits his legs for you if you turn it in the back of the car mode. There's like a slot for it. On Evolution Y and C, which is a police car, I'll send you a picture of the police car, those two guys are more like Power Masters where you kind of have to have the key to like set off a spring-loaded thing, and that's kind of a bummer. It's actually, I think, the worst thing about Evolution Y is to transform him, you have to push a button on his back trunk that you can't reach without his key or some kind of long object. But, they're really cool toys. Adventure Zed is the one to get, still. Like, it's so good. And he comes with a gun. What do you think his gun shoots? Shoots missiles, right? It's got a spring-loaded thing on it. So you'd think, like, missiles. So it's got a spring-loaded switch, you push it, and it just makes a little tooth on the gun, on the top of the gun, go down. The gun comes with like 20 rubber bands, and it shoots rubber bands. And aside from the whole thing of rubber bands flying through the air and, you know, hitting you in the eye, it's a gun that is designed to do a very good job of shooting rubber bands. And the upside of it is like, yo, guess what? I lost all my rubber bands. What do? I'm gonna go buy some more rubber bands. Like, it doesn't have, like, a custom-molded missile. It doesn't have stupid, like, pressure missiles. It's just, like, whoop, shoot rubber bands. I think it's kind of cool. I was going to talk about one other thing. So this one, C, it's got electronics, but it's got, like, I think, what was it? Mr. Fanwank has a couple of videos up about this stuff. And he's on the boards talking about Young Toys stuff as well. But it's got that thing where it has electronics, but there's no battery. It's powered by, like, the turning of a wheel.
Okay.
I think it's called a dynamo something or other. And so you turn it, and that's the police car noises. Now, the bummer is the lights are not the light bar on the top of the car. The lights are the headlights lighting up red.
They work like that, too.
Yeah, so it's not bad. But, like Tobot C, who I've, you know, taken to calling Tobot Stan because he's a police car, has a really cool transformation. But he's definitely like the weaker of the three that I got from Korean toy seller on eBay. He's got cool designs, he's got a cool transformation, but he's not quite as fun to play with because like his shoulders don't clip together that well, and he's got a lot of weight on his back because the dynamo pack is just the big backpack thing behind his head. Okay. So he's good at falling down. But they're fun toys. I also got Evolution X, who is a big orange SUV, and he's not very poseable. Like, the thing is, these toys, they're kind of poseable. Adventure Zed is pretty poseable, but at the end of the day, they're kind of like, they're not as poseable as Transformers, but if you look at them more as really poseable Power Ranger competitors, I think that's more the market they're aiming for. And it's pretty impressive. So Young Toys has been kicking ass with this stuff, so I got in on a good auction that was way under what a lot of the other ones cost on eBay for a line called Hello Carbot, which is kind of like, do you guys remember Sonic Kong?
Uh-huh.
So Sonic Kong teamed up with Hyundai to do a line called Hello Carbot, which is nothing but Hyundai cars. So the picture I sent you, the one on the left there, is one of the Carbot designs by Sonic Kong. It's a lot more Transformers-y.
Okay.
But it still transforms super simple, but it's not built as well as Tobots. It's like it's built to survive rough play, but Tobots feel like dense and heavy. And Tobots also do this thing where in place of a lot of paint apps, they just use different colored pieces of plastic. So like on Tobot Zed, he doesn't have a lot of paint. So instead of like having black paint along, you know, red orange parts, it's just a red piece of plastic attached to a black piece of plastic. The bummer is between that and all the ratchet joints and the huge size of Tobots, they are expensive even in Korea. Like Adventure Zed costs just shy of like what was it? I just wrote it. Whoop, almost knocked something over. I wrote it down over here because I got the won price and luckily there was a conversion next to it. Because these things are expensive on eBay. Like, Tobot Adventure Zed generally will run you $70 or $80 on eBay. On the low end. But his retail price in Korea is just shy of $60. So, he's already an expensive toy anyway. And the bummer about all this is Tobots, Young Toys, is trying to market Tobots to other countries. They're succeeding. Like, I think they just started selling these in China and the Philippines and some other territory. But they are making a line of toys that are all $40 to $60 a piece, and the way that toy marketplace is in North America right now, I don't know if it's very viable for them to come over here, because their whole toy line would be like $30 to $60 pieces, and I think even Power Rangers, like they've been making original molds now in order to not cost as much as Super Sentai toys cost in Japan, so. I don't know if these things are really going to come over here or not. I hope they do, because they're cool toys. I'm going to get a couple more. But yeah, if you're looking into Tobots, the one to look into is Tobot Adventure Zed. He's going to give you all the best qualities all at once. And he's also full of delicious ratchet joints. Anyway, that's a whole bunch of Korean toy talk. I will pass the chair for now over to Aaron, because I can't remember if I have anything else to talk about. So, Aaron, aside from Transformers, were you able to fit anything into your life this last week?
Kristen picked up some more Donatellos.
Let's talk about Donatellos!
Alrighty. She did get the Wizard Donnie from the LARP series.
Alright.
So we've found that one. And when I saw it in the package, I was all excited because I thought he was going to be like the Leo and have the jacket, his wizard's robe come off, and instead it's big, hard plastic piece.
Man.
Which kind of sucks.
Can you tell if there's anything inside, or is it just
kills
hollow?
Kills his mobility. No, it is one big piece. You look up his skirt, and it's all purple plastic.
Damn.
It is one big plastic coat piece.
That line doesn't seem to have like a budget per figure so much as budgets per wave, so maybe he's the way they saved some money.
Yeah. He has his really neat hat with beard combo on it and a bow staff that has something on the end of it, but any detail got paint apped right out. So it was kind of a disappointment to be the last one of these live action roleplay turtles, which I think is actually the first time she's had a set of all four from the same bit. She got a couple from the first wave of turtles and then the other two that she needed from the battle shell that was the more accurate and posable ones. But for whatever reason, all these live-action roleplay ones she's been very excited to get. So we ended up with the whole set of those. And then as we were walking out with that at Toys R Us, she saw the classic reissue Turtles and so had to grab the OG Donatello that was the same one that she had as a little girl. And just had to realize how horrible these were. I mean, great for their time, but you look at articulation and you look at everything else, and doesn't really look like the cartoon did and all of that, but still have all of the nostalgia behind it. It's weird sitting here holding this, like, man, I remember being so excited, and now this is kind of weird. And
how long's it been since you messed with an original Turtles figure?
Oh, more than a decade.
So were they kind of romanticized in your mind then, or?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And more of the ones that I had were, like, the later waves of stuff by the time I was getting them, so they were probably more cartoon-like than that first wave that's very much like the initial, you know, indie comic book.
Yeah. A lot of people I know ended up getting the mutation ones that had, like, bigger size, better proportions and color.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the memory a lot of them have. So when you go back to those old ones, you just...
It's very like, ugh.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I got the mutation ones.
Yeah.
That's nostalgia. You know, very rose-tinted glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's also some people's tastes. I mean, like, I think I mentioned this before, but, like, you know, I don't dislike G1 toys, but I feel like I just get more out of new toys. And I know there are people who've, especially lately, have gotten way more into just focusing on older figures. And that's fine. It's older toys have a massive amount of charm. It's all about what you get out of it.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting to get it in hand and see the different levels of nostalgia versus... the looking back at my memories of being a 10-year-old or whatever versus everything, and then holding it in my hand at 30 something going,
I'm just gonna go and pour some white glue on my hand and forget about all this.
Yeah. Go back to kindergarten.
Alright, well, swinging us around here, I have a secret thing to talk about afterwards that I just realized I should talk about, but first up, TJ Omega, did you get any off-topic stuff you want to chat about?
Indeed I did.
Ah.
See, I thought this was going to be a thinner off-topic week for me, so there's one thing from last time that I reserved.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's worth mentioning. It's not too topical, but it's worth mentioning.
Well, topical to off-topic is, you know, a bit of a gray area altogether. It's philosophy. It's...
All right, okay, yeah, to be fair. So
what is this?
Okay. So there is this old cartoon called Adventures of T-Rex.
All right.
Okay, so you've got five anthropomorphic nightclub comedian T-Rexes that are also superheroes on the side.
As you do.
Mm-hmm. It's the 90s. The show is, like, extraordinarily obscure, and I loved it as a kid, but I completely forgot about it in adulthood until someone randomly linked me to the opening. And then it just hit me like a brick wall. You know, and at which time, when I start researching, I find out they had toys that I never knew about. Said toys were only sold in Germany.
That happened to the Highlander cartoon, I think. Or something similar, like that toy line.
Yeah.
Well, in the case of T-Rex, it actually originates from Germany.
Oh, okay.
Like, the original writer is from there. Most of the source material is in German. So, this is... the one I've got linked in the photo is Buck. It's the all B names. It's weird.
That's a pretty... I thought he was going to have a cooler name than that.
Well, it's like Buck, Bugsy,
Bugsy,
Bruno,
that's a name.
Those kind of names.
Yeah.
Names. And they all have, like, they all have kind of kitschy, like, 1940s, 50s Hollywood accents. You know, like, there's one that talks exclusively like Humphrey Bogart, the whole series.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I thought this was a Snailian. I'm just going to say right now before I forget.
Snailian.
I thought this was a Snailian's toy that I didn't know about.
No. Oh. But this is about a year and a half ago, I found out that these toys existed. That's the only thing I have found in that entire time.
All right. Is he just like a little figurine?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a tiny thing, shy of 3 inches.
All right. Is he hard plastic or kind of rubbery?
Rock hard.
All right, so you can't chew on him necessarily.
No.
All right.
No, I'd probably break a tooth. But I didn't buy this out of a
German seller. I bought this from someone in New York who also had a bunch of Dino Saucer toys that were only sold in Brazil.
And yeah, Dino Saucers. No, when do we get to the Snailians? That's what I want to know.
It's one of those toys where this thing had to have such a journey. I wish this thing could talk.
I just
like I want to know how a German toy from the 90s ended up in Florida.
I just wish my toys could talk in general so they could just all, you know.
It's plenty easy to see how it got there. It's military bases in Germany. Get restationed somewhere else. Kid takes the toys.
That's way more interesting than I bought it from a used shop in Japan.
When I was a kid, I almost had all the Highlander cartoon toys because I saw them in a European toy shop, and I am the one who said, nah. Still can't believe that. That's kind of cool, though. Yeah. I mean, it looks good for the time. It looks a lot like Snailian to me. I'm sorry. It's what it looks like. When I was a kid, I never had Snailians, and I thought they were cool.
Not even sure what a Snailian is.
Yeah, look them up. They were you fired them out of a thingamadoo,
thingamadoo. Yeah. Snailians from a thingamadoo.
You shoot them out of a thing, and I don't know. I thought it was really cool when I was little.
Like all I know is there's a bunch of slug toys out right now, and it confuses the hell out of me, and I fear for children.
I just fear for children in general. I mean, look at this friggin' world. Ugh.
Well, they're making millions on YouTube now. Don't worry about them.
Well, one is, you know, the chosen one, Evan HD. Notice we don't know what happened to Evan SD. Well, aside from this German toy, it sounds like you got some other stuff too.
Yeah. So you know how I do that thing where I try out something and then I've got like a dozen of them a week later?
Yeah, it's called addiction.
Yeah. I tend to do it every now and then. I did it again.
Every now and then, yeah. Well, so what'd you get into?
I got into a GLaDOS mood.
Yep, as you do.
As I do. So the one I decided to try out were these two.
Mm-hmm.
Which are Kabuto Mushis from The God Beast.
Yeah.
Because dude comes up with some really cool colors.
Oh, yeah, he's been shooting great color. Like, I don't care too much for pastel translucents, but he got such a good inner glow out of the last drop of these. Kawato Mushis, for those who do not know, are very beetle-oriented, GLaDOS-compatible figures that are big and beefy. They look like they are insectoid bipeds. They are beautiful. Also, I think they are one of the best standalone GLaDOS toys you can get up there with the Weaponeers.
Oh yeah,
because there's a lot of parts in a Kabuto Mushi. They're really fun, good toys.
What so. I generally find about these is it's hard to find ways of combining them together,
mm-hmm.
because the parts are all very round, you know, and generally don't play well with each other.
So there was a period where I think there was some uncertainty as to how to do stuff with those contained in and of themselves. And I was there when God Beast Marty Hansen handed one to Matt Dowdy, who is the guy who came up with the GLaDOS system. Matt Dowdy friggin' came up with this awesome little contained other insectoid build, which I think went on to feature and be tweaked in some of God Beast's photography as like the quadruped insects and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's where I find these things have an advantage. While I find they don't really play well with multiple sets, individually, there's a lot you can do with one.
Yeah. And the angular shoulder piece that goes between the shoulder and the chest really opens them up as far as standalone posability. It's very impressive.
Yeah, those pieces alone make a lot of builds that would normally clash or have too many parts getting in the way that actually makes them possible.
Yeah, well, I gotta ask, have you managed to remove the little orbs from his back yet?
No.
Because those are GLaDOS pegged in, and they are removable.
I noticed, because I know he offered wings that plugged in there at one time.
Yeah, and I mean, those orbs, you can pull them out and stick them into other sockets, too, and you can, you know, stick arms back there if you want to. It's a real rite of passage to figure out how to get those out. I wish you luck.
I have very small flathead screwdrivers that may or may not be employed soon.
The thing is, those are little tiny orbs, right? So there's two dangers. Number one, the danger you think of, which is the orb's going to go flying off of, you know, into the nether realms of your wherever you are. However, the real danger is they are a small round thing you're trying to lever out with a sharp object like a screwdriver.
Yeah.
It's real easy for the screwdriver to just sort of get on the round part, go flying past the orb and into whatever happens to be behind it. So, you know, take care. Be wary.
I will do. No, the picture I showed you was like just the two that I picked up to sample out, and now I'm up to seven of these.
I didn't think I was going to, but I've gotten at least one of every one that came out, and for the first couple of runs when he was doing colors I adored, like that friggin' green, I was buying them in triplicate for the first two drops. And then I realized I love the green, I don't need the love of this green to carry over to everything else, but I got a lot of Kabuto Mushis.
Yeah. I had to eBay for the pearlescent brown, and I still need to come up with a green one somewhere.
That green is Shin Sector green. I was like, I cannot not buy this, at least in double, if not triple. I like the Kabuto Mushi a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a bad thing, which is I'm buying half of the colorway, and I'm leaving the other half, so I have to go back to get all the parts.
All right. Set it up. Set your goals. Make your carrots.
Lastly, while I was trying out some new Glios, I went ahead and went over to Toyfinity for their RoboForce line.
Excellent. Yeah, another good toy line. It's way more niche, but I think that RoboForce, once you have two of them, two RoboForce toys are a really good self-contained experience.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like for Aaron's education, those two toys in that picture are the exact same toy. They're just rearranged.
Yeah, I have all those parts.
Yeah, oh. Aaron got the blue one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The blue one.
I forgot how that happened.
You're behind the ball here,
Aaron. Who got you the blue one? I forgot how that happened. Was that
you gave my address out to people?
Yeah, that's right. Right, I remember now. Yeah, it's when I was like, I wonder if I should give Aaron's address out to somebody, and then I was like, hey, I should.
Fed's body I had to hide afterwards is only slightly awkward, but
well, three people asked, and I figured, you know, odds are at least one of them will, you know, have good intentions. So I forgot about all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are some of the most happy times I've had building these things.
Yeah, RoboForce are, especially like if you got Munkaw, have you, I gotta dig it up. The guy who does RoboForce, John Kent, did a really cool build using Munkaw parts with RoboForce to make Cruel, I think it was. And I'll go dig it up. In the meantime, let me show you what you need to track down, both of you. The original villain of RoboForce, if you get a silver one, a black one, and a red one, then you can put the parts together to make this build I came up with for proper 2014-100.
Oh, nice.
That thing's been living on my desk for like a month and a half. I am not taking him apart. He's a perfect...
He's official now?
He is. To me, he is the official 2014 remake of 100, because I worked real hard on that build trying to get the color palette in place and trying to get the shape I got of the old toy in place, and I do not want to take that apart again. I'm really proud of that build.
I need to track the red one down.
Everyone ignored the red one when it came out, and I've seen a lot of people, well, not a lot, but you know, for the niche audience there is for Glios, I've seen a number of people act like as soon as the black and silver ones came out, actively trying to track down.
Well, there's a forum for this stuff where I found someone selling a bunch of things, but he won't answer my private messages. So I'm trying.
Code words. You need to know the code words.
Code words.
Yep. I might be making that up, but you need to know the code words. A lot of people have been getting RoboForce and just using them to make vehicles for Glios figures, which is another big use for them, because RoboForce is bringing a lot of hard edges to Glios, which is a very often, you know, rounded series of toy lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw a few things for walkers, and someone made a Segway out of them.
Yeah.
I did a tank build, which that made me happy that these were versatile enough that I can actually make some vehicle builds out of them too.
Yeah, I mean the way that that all the parts fit together. From what I understand, there was a lot of development in making those parts have very specific angles. I know I heard the word isosceles pentagram many times.
Jeez.
But here's a photo of a build that may be a prototype of an official build for an upcoming figure using Munkaw parts.
Oh, good lord.
That's beefcake. Wow. That's beefcake. They're, you know, GLaDOS compatible stuff. I find, like, it's kind of like eventually one aesthetic gets made that kind of works for a given toy collector. But, you know, it's all over the place right now with growing intensity, the number of people getting in and out of GLaDOS stuff. So, you know, I don't blame people if they kind of just aren't interested right now. But the nice thing is a lot of these toys are around for a long time through various different colorways.
Yeah.
They just need to have ratchet joints like that, and then we'll have a perfect toy line. Oh.
GLaDOS ratchet joints.
Anyway. Congratulations on your GLaDOSing.
I have more to do tomorrow.
Excellent.
Trying out Nye stuff for the first time.
Oh, he's good. Well, I'm biased. He's the one who got me into GLaDOS. But those colorways he's doing look pretty good. And his the new parts he's done for the Outlander figure that he did really opened that figure up. Some of the heads are super cool. And the new leg parts are what that toy needed. But aside from that, did you get anything else this week?
I'm pretty sure I used the word finally, which would imply that no,
I just
not.
Like to ask. You know, I'm a polite person.
No,
I got something on topic I forgot to talk about, and I'm going to briefly talk about it because I think it's worth talking about. So we're just gonna screw with the order here.
You're wrecking the format.
So I forgot about this, but I got they're all over aftermarkets for much decenter prices now. So I got the other set of Transformers Go figures, the Shinobi team, the ninjas. You know, like the lion, the bird, and the shark that can combine together in three different ways. So way back, I'm one of the suckas who pre-ordered the Transformers Go sword bots, you know, Kenzan and those bunch, which were not bad toys, but they were very troubled toys. And they were most troubled when you combine them together. The Shinobi team, Hisho Maru, Sui something Maru, and what's his name Maru, they don't really, they turn into real nonsense animal robot things, and their robot modes are, you know, they are not without their flaws, but they are a very soft but overall upgrade to the sword bots, and they are kind of what I wish the sword bots were like to play with. Because I ran through all three combinations, and at no point did I want to throw the toy out the window. All the clips worked! Like, you know, the biggest problem with the sword bots was how some of their tabs just didn't work, or some of the clip systems would just come apart when you were trying to clip the other toys in. The Shinobi bots, like, work! And their combined modes, like, I think look just a little bit less 2004, I guess is the best way to put it. I don't know, I forgot, did either of you guys end up going for those? Or did you end up...
No. I have the Hawk, and that's about it.
The Hawk is the best one of the three.
I figured.
The Shark is immensely troubled as a standalone toy. Like, I'm going to send you a picture from Cook Sucks' review.
All I know is his hips go up to his armpits.
So
and
he,
it looks weird no matter what.
I was already prepared for that. I was super prepared for that. But Cook Sucks' shot here shows you the three guys in robot mode, but it shows you the shark guy in profile. Look at on the front of his knees, he's got these missile pods that are just sticking out as far as they can stick out off the front of his knees at angles that just make it look like you didn't transform him right. So the shark is insanely troubled to the point of almost being endearing.
He has no abdomen.
He's just a bunch of combiner stuff that had a head added to it.
It's just limbs with a head.
It's kind of beautiful, but when they all combine together, like I think all three combined modes are pretty cool. Unfortunately, like, you know, the three sword bots, their combined weapon is complete garbage. It barely even holds together. Doesn't really go in their hands very well, which was a problem I had with the sword bots, is in their combined modes, all the weaponry for the combined modes sucked. Same thing here, unfortunately. Like, stuff kind of pegs together a bit better, but just generally, I just want to set it all to the side and just have a cool combined robot. But unlike the sword bots, I get something out of all three combinations. Whereas with the sword bots, it was kind of like, I just really want to do the one with the red guy on top. Because the other ones kind of bum me out. maybe the yellow one was okay, I can't remember. But I haven't tried the electronics yet, so I don't know if they have that problem. You know, the one where Kenzan's sensor tabs would just not really work. And he would just yell constantly. But especially at discounted prices, I think the Shinobi team is kind of fun. Still, not really good toys, but they're kind of fun. You know, don't pay what they cost when they originally came out. And nowadays, it's pretty easy to not pay that. But yeah, I'm really surprised how much I dig him. Unfortunately, from what I've read, Optimus X Prime, like the final toy for this line, that was the, you know, the dragon bullet train Optimus, that you could use to combine the two team leaders together. Everything I've read is that he is absolute stinking hot garbage. So I kind of don't want to buy him. So I think I'll just happily play around with the Shinobi team and pretend that they were a standalone trio and leave it at that. If any listener out there wants to tell me otherwise, like, let me know. But I have not heard good about Optimus X Prime from even proponents of this line. So there's my secret on topic, what I got this week. That brings us to the end of the show, I believe. Thank you both for joining me. Aaron, keep us updated as to the state of our boy.
Will do.
You know, if people want to help out, there are links they can follow.
Yeah, find me on Twitter. I've tried not to go crazy about it because I feel really weird about, like, I'm more than happy to sit here and tweet and try to get you to donate money for Extra Life to go to Riley Hospital for Children and my gaming marathon. But when I'm like, man, I could really use some help to pay dog vet bills, but that's like on me. And I had four or five people say, you did an Indiegogo before. I'm like, yeah, but I felt kind of skeezy. Do it again. I'll donate money. I'm like, but I feel weird.
Hey, you know, I let you mention it on here, like, you know, I expect my $50, yeah. But...
Yeah, the guy that offered me some serious reworking of my page.
Tell this story. You don't have to say names, but this is a story worth telling,
was,
I think.
I don't even really have names, but it was... Just
some entity who showed up when
you were... It was... I got... So whenever somebody sends me a donation through Indiegogo, I get an email from Indiegogo saying, hey, you got a donation. I get an email from PayPal saying, hey, somebody sent you money. And then I get another one saying, hey, we gave Indiegogo their cut. And so I was seeing emails coming. Yeah, seeing emails coming in batches of threes. That's why I set the money limit a whole lot lower than the last one so that I get over that, so I get some of that money back. But anyway, and I see a single one come in from Indiegogo with none of the other stuff. I'm like, what's going on here? And it was... email, it was a private comment to your campaign of somebody who offered, had like tiers of ways that they could help the campaign, and the highest one was like $500, and they would completely run my campaign and do all this stuff down to
$5. They messaged your tiered campaign with tiers of how they'll help you.
Yeah. So I remember, like, the $5 one was he would donate $1 to my campaign and mention it on his Facebook page. The, what was it? Like, the $20 or $30 tier was he would punch up my Indiegogo campaign and mention it five times on his Facebook page and donate $3 back or something.
Like five times in a row?
Right. And then all the way up to like $500 where he would run a multimedia campaign using his Facebook and LinkedIn. It was like the dirtiest back corner of
crowdfunding.
Of crowdfunding social media. And I imagine I like... looked through everything and the guy's out of like Prague or something. And it's not like, you know, if it was some name that I knew that was like, oh, well, hell, I can get Justin Bieber to, because he's the one that has 11 billion Twitter followers. I can get that on his feed. Yeah, I'll throw some money at that because visibility is visibility.
And it'll eventually track back to Extra Life.
But yeah, I whatever. But when it's like some dude in Prague will make a mention on his on a YouTube comment for me, it's like I see no way that you managing my thing for a significant portion of what I'm aiming for is going to drive up the donations more, but okay.
Hey, thanks. Hey, listen, he's big in Prague, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Have weird metrics all of a sudden out of Prague. I have people sending me concern for my dog.
The people of Prague stand behind you, Andy Rue!
Yeah, and I did the same silly thing on this one. If I have a bunch of the tears are all silly things I'll do or have Andy do of like shake paw, ear rub, what are they all? Here, I actually got to go and look at the campaign.
This is if you had a campaign manager.
Yeah, there. $5 will get you a paw shake, $10 will get you an ear scritch, $20 will get you the tail scratched, $30's a belly rub, and $50's a kick nerve. So
you're a kick nerve.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how like kick nerve and belly rub are going to work with like a big abdominal incision that might have to wait a little bit for fulfillment, but
oh geez, this is getting shady now.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be coming home with a cone of shame, and he's going to have to keep that on for probably 2 weeks. So
no, I'm just saying if there's an incision that's getting in the way of the kick nerve.
Yeah. No, his kick nerve generally lives up by the collar. So
all right,
you start scratching him really good underneath the collar, and he'll start kicking.
Well,
not the typical rub on, scratch the right spot on the belly and he starts kicking. My dog can't do anything normal.
I hope your dog appreciates that we just talked a whole lot about him on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, what with his cognitions of the podcast and all.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that does it for this week. So, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for more WTFTFW. Maybe October will be a big news week. Maybe it won't. We'll find out, I guess. But until then, stay, I don't know, human?
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.